Welcome to the Good News from the Gardens podcast. I am Pastor Steve Windsor of Nativity Lutheran Church and School in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Each week, I will be sharing a message grounded in faith, hope, and love of God from our Sunday worship service right here via this podcast. I hope you consider subscribing and sharing this message with others. Thank you for listening. Now this week's biblical reading and message. A reading from the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, the 26th through 40th verses. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go down toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and is returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John from the 15th chapter. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of our Lord. I'd like to tell you about a person I know fairly well. Real well. Person I know well that has re-engaged themselves with their faith. Her name is Jackie. And this Jackie would walk past the church that she was baptized in decades ago weekly, if not daily. One day, when Jackie was on her daily walk, she was moved to go inside this place that she once knew as a child, this church, this community of faith that she was brought up in as a child. She was moved to go in because of circumstances in her life. She wasn't at the bottom, but
She was definitely in need of healing. She was definitely a person seeking, looking for purpose outside of broken relationships. It's not that she had a horrible past. It's just that she wanted to move on, that she wanted to experience rebirth. She wanted to experience resurrection. She lived what you would consider a Christian life, not unlike yourselves or I. But the community of faith, the church, was something that she was relatively distant from. The church that she would go to, that she would happen to walk into, that church that she knew as a kid, was no longer Lutheran, but is now a non-denominational church. She had not been in that church since she was probably 7 or 8 years old. The apostle Philip was preaching and converting Samaritans into believers in Jesus Christ before being sent south, as we hear in today's reading, to the Gaza Road by an angel. Note that Philip did not question the messenger angel as to why he was being told to head in that direction. It was a wilderness road, a desert road. It was desolate, out in the middle of nowhere. He did not ask if Peter or John, who are there with him in Samaria, if they could go along. Philip just went as he was led to do by the Spirit. Now, Philip had just experienced success in converting Samaritans into believers, so he just might be feeling the Spirit's momentum. He is pumped up. His trust in God is high. Fear of going alone into a desolate landscape is not on Philip's radar. He was given little to no instruction besides where to go to that wilderness road, go to that desolate place. And nor did the messenger angel say to him while on that wilderness road to look out for anyone. This is a blind mission. He's on a faithfully blind mission. He did not know that he was to rendezvous with an Ethiopian eunuch. The absence of Philip's hesitancy suggests he fully trusts the Spirit's direction. He just gets up and goes. No questions asked. As we heard in the reading, on that road is the individual the Holy Spirit is directing Philip to. We read that this man is an important and educated individual who works for the Ethiopian queen's treasury. And he is on his way home from having worshipped in Jerusalem. While riding this chariot, he's reading from the book of Isaiah. Jews were exiled to Ethiopia by the Babylonians, so he very well could be an Ethiopian Jew on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. This man also happens to be a eunuch. We're reminded that 5 times in this text, which means he is without testosterone, possibly since a very young age. Eunuchs were usually easy to identify because they were very short in stature, they were less muscular, and without body or facial hair because of not having testosterone. This pilgrim was either born into or sold into this societal role. This was not a life of his choosing. This is just what happened to him. Eunuchs played an important role in royal families because they were minus some man parts, and thus largely minus the sex drive, and they were trusted around royal courts. Our Ethiopian eunuch is a complicated individual. He is educated. He likely lives very comfortably as an insider of the Ethiopian queen. If he was born a Jew and was understood to be a eunuch, his access to the temple would have been denied. He would have had to stand outside the walls of the temple to worship. But oddly enough, he was a privileged individual, but without his consent, while at the same time had privilege taken from him because of what had been done to him. 5 times in this text, he is called a eunuch. It says his identity that the author wants to bubble to the surface. The author of Acts makes it clear that the identity we are to understand him as is that of a eunuch. Where he is from is not as important as what has been done to him and the lens by which society sees and interacts with him. So there's the eunuch reading Isaiah aloud in his chariot. And for a second time, Philip is given directions to which he instantly responds. If there was any question as to Philip's state of mind in regards to being sent into the desert to do God knows what, it is erased by the fact that he ran up to the chariot and asks, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch's response is, "How can I? How can I unless someone guides me?" The eunuch invites Philip into his chariot. He accepts, and down the wilderness road they travel together. Philip goes on to interpret an Isaiah passage that echoes the life and death of Jesus, that like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Led to slaughter, humiliation, silence, denied justice. You have to wonder if this scripture passage, just how close it hit home for the eunuch. But Philip started with Isaiah. He started with Isaiah and then went into the good news about Jesus. Philip must have interpreted the scripture and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ really good, because it led to the eunuch saying, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Philip must have done a masterful job of conveying the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He must have painted a hope-filled picture of what life ahead holds for the eunuch in the wake of one's baptism. For the word clicked. His soul was soaked in Philip's proclamation. His eager and instantaneous desire to be baptized suggests he was ready. What is to prevent me from being baptized? What could have prevented this man from being baptized? It surely wasn't going to be himself. He heard the story of Jesus and understood it as his story as well. That he is not unlike the leper, that he is not unlike the paralytic, that he is not unlike the man with a withered hand. And he wished to lay claim to the grace, mercy, acceptance, justice that they received from Jesus. He desires inclusion, to be accepted, inclusion into a community growing. A growing community of believers who are walking in the ways of Jesus. And he can see his dignity and respect on the mend and restored by the Holy Spirit-influenced hearts. He desires to be whole despite being broken. And that is God's specialty. So Philip and eunuch go into the water together. No sooner had the baptism taken place than Philip was snatched up, we read, snatched up and sent away by the Spirit. Unfazed by Philip's departure, the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing, anticipating a great life in Christ to know, share, and give. What are we to make of this beautiful story of holy orders given, faithfully received, good news administered, followed by a plunge into the baptismal life? Whose sandals are we to step into this morning? Philip's or the eunuch? I'd say it's not one or the other, but it's both. The Spirit tapped into an opportune time to grow the kingdom of God. The Spirit knew Philip was up to the task of sharing the good news, and the Spirit knew the eunuch was primed for receiving it, and more specifically from Philip. In addition, there is a sense of urgency to the story that suggests this meeting had to occur now, then, in that time, in that space, on that wilderness road. And given the way in which Philip is snatched up and whisked away by the Spirit, it would seem that there is another soul for him to meet up with. There is another Spirit-led task for him to tend to. There are a dozen ways for us to dissect this passage as to understand the mind of Philip or the eunuch, or how God's will played out through the Spirit. We can surmise a lot if we allow ourselves to, but there is a reason this story in particular made it into Scripture. Of all the interactions the other apostles had, be them conversions or healings, this one was preserved for Scripture because it speaks to the efficacy of the Spirit in the early days of God's church. There were no roadblocks. There were no cultural apprehensions. There were no theological hang-ups. There was no fear. There was no doubt by either Philip or the eunuch. There was good listening. There was good teaching. There was open hearts. There were a pair of open minds and great timing, as there was an available body of water. The timing was right as well for Jackie. The Holy Spirit was right for Jackie on that day 2 years ago. When on her everyday walk, she walked by that church and said, "I'm going to go inside. I'm going to go see what my baptism was about decades earlier." It was inside that church that a church lady welcomed her with open arms. And since that day, nearly 2 years ago, Jackie has been a fixture at her church. If there's something going on, she's involved. She's there on Wednesday nights. She's at special events. She is plugged in. Just last week, she was rebaptized. Rebaptized in the Gulf of Mexico. The Ethiopian in the Acts text said, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" The answer was nothing. They stopped the chariot, went to the water, and a baptism occurred. What was to prevent Jackie from being baptized that day? Nothing. Sprinkled as a child or dunked as an adult, faith of the community or faith of the one being baptized. Jackie was rebaptized because it was her choice. It was her faith marker. She was recommitting her life to her Lord and Savior. She was recommitting her life, recommitting herself to her baptismal promise. The promises that were set over her. Jesus said this about himself in the second verse of today's gospel reading. When he says, "The Father removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes away to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you." I want us to think about that for a second. Jesus says, again, "The Father removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit." And then Jesus continues in verse 4 by saying, "Abide in me as I abide in you." So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that even the fruitful branches of his were being removed by the Father to make room for new growth. And that if we abide in Jesus, abide, that means to remain, to stay, to be present as he does in us, then we too are open to being pruned. Not just the fruitless branches, but those that can produce more fruit. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah. Great. But it got better, right? It got better when Philip joined him, when it got better when he got into that chariot with him. It got better, even better, when they entered the water together, they were abiding. The Spirit was abiding within them. The Spirit of Christ was abiding within them. And they gave in to that and more presence with one another. Jackie walked by the church. She walked by the church where her faith life started. And the Spirit led her in. The church lady begins to interpret, like Philip did, what more the Lord has in store for her in that space, in that place. And she dives in. She takes a deep dive where she is being healed, where her worth is being restored, where her love of God is expanding. Hopefully, I've given us a lot to think about this morning. And to sum it all up, I say this. The Spirit is leading you to grow the kingdom here on earth. You are being led to assist, to lead someone's belief in Jesus Christ as their source of life, healing, and forgiveness. Someone needs you to step into the chariot with them, to reopen the doors of the church to them, to step into the waters of baptism with them. Abiding in the Lord means constant pruning. It is an ongoing refinement of our connection to Christ. Consider this. You may be the starting point or restarter for someone to begin abiding in the love of God in Christ Jesus. You may be the starting point or the re-engagement for someone to begin or to strengthen their abiding in Christ. You may be the starting point for someone's healing. You may be the starting point for someone's understanding for how to deal and live in this disruptive world. You may be the starting point for someone to hear the good news of Jesus Christ as being tailored especially for them. How does that abide in you? How does that manifest itself in your heart? Does it give you fear? Does it give you anxiety? Does it excite you? Does it make you feel empowered? What does it do for you? Good people of God, abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus, and you won't be just good. You'll be great in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. I hope this week's message has given you something life-giving to think about and given you hope that you are loved by God. To learn more about Nativity Lutheran Church and School, search PB Nativity on Facebook or visit our website at nativitylutheranpbg.com. If you would like to support this podcast or any of the ministries of Nativity, please visit our website giving page. Thanks again for tuning into this week's The Good News from the Gardens podcast. Till next week, love God and love God's people.